Hey guys, so this is podcast number 2. I'm so excited to be back here at it again. So anyhow, today's story is much different than last week's. So don't get me wrong, it's the same in that a young person disappears literally into thin air. It's different though, because my story last week on Kyle Fleischman is a story that I have literally been following since the day after he disappeared. So at the time, one of my coworkers had actually told me about the story the day after it happened. She did not know Kyle personally, but they had gone to the same school, and it's a pretty small school. So anyways, she was really into the story because she had heard, of course, through friends and acquaintances what had happened. So my point is, I followed every move of Kyle's case for years and years and years. I still learned a lot in my research, don't get me wrong, but most of the story I knew prior to my research. So the story I'm going to tell you about today, though, is the total opposite. I had actually never heard of it until my research for this podcast. So this fact makes today's episode extra special to me. I'm obsessed with true crime stories, though. So I really, really enjoyed researching this case since I knew nothing about it ahead of time. So anyhow, here we go. So today is the story of Tara Lee Calico, who vanished Tuesday, September 20th, 1988. Tara Lee Calico was born on Friday, February 28th, 1969. At the time of her disappearance, she was 19. She had brown hair and green eyes. She was 5'6" and weighed about 120 pounds. And she lived on Brug Street. It's B-E-L-E-N. I think it's Belen. Belen, New Mexico. I might be getting that wrong. I'm sorry. Belen, maybe? Belen. We're going to go with Belen. Belen, New Mexico. So what happened? On the morning of Tara's disappearance, she had decided to go on a bike ride. This is something she did with her mom regularly. They would take the same route each time they went, which was a 36-mile round trip beginning and ending at their home. What is so heart-wrenching about this story is that on that particular day, Tara's mom, Patty Dole, did not accompany Tara on her bike ride. Apparently, Patty had recently decided to stop going with Tara because she felt, I'm using air quotes, stalked by motorists. In the days and weeks leading up to Tara's disappearance, Patty had asked Tara to start carrying mace with her, but Tara refused. On the day of her disappearance, Tara left the house at 9:30 in the morning. She told her mom she was going to do her normal 36-mile trip down New Mexico State Road 47. And can we just stop for a moment and talk about the fact that this woman would ride her bike regularly for 36 miles? Like, are you freaking kidding me? So I have to tell you that we recently got into kayaking, and we kayaked for 7 miles a few weeks ago, and I was so proud of myself. Like, literally, I told everybody I knew, pretty sure I posted it on Facebook, and I was sitting on my butt. And let's be 100% honest with everyone. I was totally rounding up. I think we went 6.5 miles. It was like 6.53. And I'm like, well, that's close enough to 7. So anyways, major shout out to Miss Tara, and her mom, who could ride a bike for 36 miles on a regular basis. Anyhow, so right before Tara disappeared, she had gotten in some type of accident with her bike. So she was using her mom's. It sounded, one report said it was just like a flat tire, and then the other one made it sound like it might have been a little bit more, more than just a flat tire. But either way, my point is that she was not on her own bike. She was actually using her mom's. And because of that, As she was walking out the front door that morning, she turned to her mom and half jokingly says, "If I'm not home by noon, come looking for me." Ha ha. You know, because she had gotten a flat tire before. So just a side note, I'm not sure really how much this plays into the story, but Tara wanted to be home by noon so she could meet her boyfriend at 12:30 to play tennis. And can we take a pause there as well? Like, let's be honest, if I rode my bike for 36 miles, I would absolutely expect some type of an award, and then I would justify never working out again for the rest of the month because I had done that. And here this girl is, like, such a total badass. She says, "Come find me if I'm not home after my 36-mile bike ride. I want to be home to play tennis with my boyfriend 30 minutes later." This girl was beast. She's awesome. So, anyhow, back to the story, though. So, when 12 o'clock came and went, Patty, who's her mom, started getting a little bit worried, so she got in her car and began looking for Tara. When she couldn't find her, she called the police. The last credible eyewitness saw Tara at 11:45 a.m., roughly 2 miles from her house. Police searched everywhere for Tara, but could never locate her or her neon pink Huffy bike with yellow control cables and sidewalls. How amazing is that? Police did find pieces of Tara's Sony Walkman and a cassette tape. Okay, so I was born in 1982. So Walkmans are my jam, or were my jam, I guess I should say. In case you are listening to this and you have no clue what I'm talking about, the Walkman was launched by Sony on July 1st, 1979. It was the first time you could listen to music on the go, more or less. So before the Walkman, you couldn't go running and listen to music at the same time. So I know anybody born in the 2000s probably like, "What are you talking about?" But seriously, can you imagine? All we had before that are these giant boom boxes. It was so crazy. So what you would do is buy one of these Walkmans, which I just Googled last night. They were $200 brand new. That is mind-blowing to me. And you think that was in, you know, the late 70s. That would be like $1,000 today, probably. Anyhow, so you go out, you buy one of these Walkmans, and then you would go to a music store. Yes, those were a thing. And you could pick out the cassette tape that you wanted. It was like a cassette tape is like a really tiny VHS tape. It had a tape in it and everything. It was amazing. It was so crazy though, because you had this entire album on this cassette tape. So if there was a certain song that you wanted to hear, which let's be honest, usually there's like that one or two songs that you're obsessed with that you just want to listen to over and over again. You would have to like sit there and listen to the whole cassette tape. You could fast forward and rewind, but you'd have to like time it right so you could you know end on the song you actually wanted. It was crazy. So God forbid the song you liked the most was the last one on the tape. You would be in trouble. So anyhow, all right, back to the story. When she disappeared, Tara was wearing a white t-shirt with First National Bank of Belen written on it. She was also wearing white shorts with green stripes, white ankle socks, and turquoise and white Avia tennis shoes. She was also wearing a gold butterfly ring with a diamond insert, a gold amethyst ring, and half-inch gold hoop earrings. No one actually witnessed an abduction, but people reported seeing a light-colored pickup truck, possibly a 1953 Ford, with a camper shell following behind her. Although the police investigated Tara's disappearance tirelessly, authorities had almost no clues or leads in the months following her abduction. Okay, Fast forward to June 15th, 1989, so just shy of 9 months after the abduction. Now try and follow this. A woman in Port St. Joe, Florida, contacts the police to say that a white, windowless Toyota cargo van had been parked outside a convenience store. The lady said that when the van pulled away, a Polaroid picture was found laying on the ground in a parking spot. Just for S&Gs, and that is short for shits and giggles. I say that all the time. So now you can follow me. Just for S&Gs, I Googled the distance between Brug Street, which is where Tara was from, or her hometown, and Port St. Joe, Florida, where the Polaroid was found, and it's just shy of 1,500 miles, okay? So we are not talking nearby at all. The Polaroid picture was that of a young woman and an even younger boy, all right? The two of them are together in the picture. They are laying in what appears to be the back of a camper. They both have duct tape covering their mouths, and although you can't see for sure, it appears that their hands and feet are bound. It was determined that the photo must have been taken after May of 1989. Authorities contacted the owners of Polaroid, who stated that that specific type of paper that was used to produce that picture was not produced until May of 1989. So that being said, it could have in fact been Tara. When shown the picture, Tara's mom, Patty, said she was convinced it was Tara. I'm not sure how much I would rely on that statement though. This poor woman was probably so desperate to believe that her baby was still alive that you could probably have shown her a picture of anyone and she would have seen her daughter somehow in it. You know, I think that's just human nature. But anyway, the young woman in the Polaroid was wearing shorts. Tara's mom is certain that the scar on the leg of the girl in the picture matched that of a scar Tara had received in a car accident. Now, this whole thing sounds super sketch, right? Like, seriously. What are the chances of a Polaroid picture actually being of someone who went missing 9 months prior from a location 1,500 miles away? Are you freaking ready for this, though? Here's what is so crazy. In the Polaroid picture, laying right next to the girl's leg was a book called My Sweet Adrena, written by V.C. Andrews. Guess whose favorite book that was? You guessed it. Tara's. How freaking crazy is that? And it's not like it was a brand new book either that everybody had. I did a little research and it was published in 1982. So 7 years before Tara vanished. My point is, what are the chances of that being coincidental? Had that book not been in the picture, I honestly think I would feel differently and I would think, that's probably not her. Like, you know, what are the chances? But that is pretty hard to deny. Anyhow, to put an end to this speculation, the police sent the photo to some of the most reputable government agencies. Surely, between these people, they would be able to conclusively distinguish between the woman in the photo and Tara, right? Wrong! The New Scotland Yard confirmed that it was Tara in the picture. All right, yay, we have a lead. Then the Los Alamos National Laboratory confirmed it was not Tara. So what do? They bring in the FBI to be the tiebreaker. And guess what they say? They came back inconclusive. Ah! How mad does that make you, right? Oh my gosh. Anyways, all that to say, we still don't know if the woman in that Polaroid picture was Tara or not. And then can we also stop for just a second? Like, this story is about Tara particularly. But what about this random little boy in the picture with Tara? Like, who is he? Who's that kid? Oh my gosh, how sad and scary, right? Anyhow, that could be an episode on its own, talking about trying to figure out who the little boy was. But for sake of staying focused, which is something I have to do all the time, refocus myself, we are going to talk specifically about Tara. So, you guys are going to kill me, but that literally is what has happened. All those years ago, have there been any leads since? So I absolutely hate this question, because yes, there have been leads, but seriously, they're crap at best. Okay, so all these years go by and nothing, I mean, at least, you know, I was born in 82, so I was just a kid. I don't remember this. I don't remember hearing about this at all. But in all my research I've done since, you know, like now for this podcast, man, not much. And I'm not saying it was from lack of effort. I don't mean that at all. But they just had nothing to go on. So I know this is like the craziest way to stop a story, but that was it. So I say there were leads, but they were crap at best. And here's why I say that. In 2008, the Valencia County Sheriff's Department reported that they received information that this was never an abduction. Okay? That, in fact, two teenagers had hit Tara while she was riding her bike that September day back in 1988. Allegedly, the boys had hit her with a truck, they panicked, and subsequently killed her. The story goes on that the boys, who supposedly knew her, drove up behind her in a truck and hit her. Now, who knows? Who knows if this is true? If it is true, were they like just messing around and hit her by accident? Were they, you know, was it malicious? Like, were they intending to hurt her? Who knows? So the story goes that allegedly Tara dies from her wounds and those responsible cover up the crime scene. The sheriff states he does not know the names of those. He does know the name of those involved, but without an actual body, there's nothing the sheriff's department can do about it. Tara's stepdad, John Dole, is apparently super duper annoyed when he heard this and said that the sheriff's department should have kept their mouths shut if they were not willing to make an arrest. And I don't blame him. Like, what the heck? Way to come out of nowhere, right? What was the point in sharing that message? The only thing I can think of is maybe the police were trying to put pressure on whomever did this, or thinking if this is even true. If it was not an abduction and somebody hit her and tried to cover it up, were they trying to put just, you know, pressure on them? Like maybe hoping the human side of them would kick in? You think if they were teenagers then, they would be in their 50s. Oh my gosh, don't do the math. I'm thinking. The 50s, their 50s now. So maybe he thought, you know, after all this time, someone would come forward. I don't know. I'm not sure. So then here's my favorite. In 2009, so a year later, a self-proclaimed psychic calls authorities saying that she had met a woman in a California strip club who she believes was Tara. Literally, that is the extent of the information, though. Maybe there's more to the story and the police are, you know, withholding information from the public. But from what I could find, that was the entire story. Like some rando calls and says, I met Tara at a strip club in California, and that was it. So credibility of this story is weak at best. Like, literally, there is no difference in that story than for me calling right now and saying, I'm pretty sure I just saw her. Again, maybe there's more to the story that I'm not aware of. Very, very possible. But in the research that I could find online, that was it. So, Tara Lee Calico's case is still open. Although it is unfortunately an ice-cold case, it is still open. If you have any information that could help authorities, please, please contact the Valencia County Sheriff's Department at 505-865-9604. Or you can call the FBI Albuquerque, New Mexico office at 505-224-2000. The FBI is currently offering a $20,000... Say hi to Buster, everybody. The FBI is currently offering a $20,000 reward for anyone able to provide information leading to the arrest and conviction of those responsible. All right, guys, that wraps up episode number 2. Thank you so, so much for listening. I really, really appreciate it. All right, hang on for a couple more icebreakers after the show. Bye. Hey guys. All right. So if you stayed for the after show, yeah, I'm calling it an after show. Last week you heard me say that for the next few episodes, I'm going to answer a couple icebreaker questions, so that the listeners get to know me a little bit better. So I've picked 5 more icebreaker questions. So here we go. All right. If I could live in a climate that is below freezing year-round or over 100 degrees year-round, which would it be? And both of those sound miserable, not going to lie. But if I had to pick, I think I would say over 100 degrees. As long as this is, sorry, there's a little caveat here. As long as this is post-COVID, because I cannot imagine wearing the mask in 100 degree weather all the time. That would be no bueno. But if it's just normal circumstances, I'm going with over 100. All right. Oh, this is a good one. How do you like your eggs? So I'm a scrambled with ketchup kind of girl. It makes my husband cringe every time he sees me dip them in ketchup, but that's my jam, so I love it. I also like deviled eggs a lot, but I'm not sure that's what the intent of the question was. So we're going to say scrambled with ketchup. And then let's see, favorite time of day. So I love listening to podcasts. I really do. I have my 2 favorites. I always tell you guys about. This will be the second time you guys are hearing because it's my second episode. But Moms and Murder and Crime Junkies are my 2 favorite. So that being said, every night while I'm making dinner, my son is usually in his room playing his video game. My husband's usually watching TV. And I will put on one of their podcasts and just listen and make dinner. And I really enjoy that time. All right, what is my favorite holiday? I have to go with Christmas. I know that's a total typical answer, but I enjoy the family time, you know, and I know that's so cliche, but it's true. It's all about the family, and usually around Christmas, I'll take the week off of work, so there's no, you know, background noise, so to speak, with projects going on at work. It's just seriously about hanging out with my family, and I really enjoy it. So Christmas for sure. Okay. As a child, what did you want to be when you grew up? I always wanted to be a veterinarian. Always. That was always my thing. And really until I got into college, so my degree is in criminal justice. It's not until I got to college that I really started changing my thought process on wanting to become a vet. So yes, that's an easy one. My entire life, I thought for sure I would be a veterinarian. And then last, I think this is the fifth one. What is my favorite sport? So my favorite sport to watch is football, 1,000,000%. We're big, big college football fans. So we recently moved to Pennsylvania. So we're starting to get into professional football, but not anything like college football. Yeah, for sure. So football. Answer to the question is football. And that's it. I think that was five, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That was five. All right, guys, take care. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. Please let me know what you think. I appreciate the support or feedback, whatever, either way. I just appreciate you listening. All right, take care. Have a great day. Bye.